This is Kootenai Co-op Radio. I'm Scott Honestchuk. Today I'm talking with Kathy Fielder. Kathy is the Director of Fisheries for the Creston Valley Rod and Gun Club. Thanks for joining me, Kathy.
Yeah, well, thanks so much.
You're part of a project that's involving restocking Kootenai Lake with Kokanee salmon. What is the current state of the Kokanee salmon population in Kootenai Lake?
Well, at this time, the Kokanee are still under pressure from predation by the Girard rainbow trout as well as the bull trout. So this has caused them to remain trapped within a predator pit, which is like an imbalance of predator and prey. But the Kootenai Lake Fisheries Advisory Team in 2015, they had put recommended actions to help restore the Kokanee population. So what they've done is these actions have been scaled up recently to help reduce the predator numbers. So this should help to relieve the pressure on the Kokanee and then give them a chance to escape the predator pit.
Okay, so how do you do that? Is it just like fishing specifically the predators?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they've scaled up the agar harvesting and stocking, which is part of the project that we are supporting. They'll be liberalizing the harvesting of the quotas, which would double and including the size of the fish and doubling the quotas. There'll be netting of some of the spawners, which has recently just happened in the spring for the Girards. They will be encouraging everybody to get out and fish and take advantage of the opportunities to be able to go and catch these fish now. With having the quotas changed a bit, gives people a little bit more opportunities. And then the provincial fishing managers and partners will be supporting the delivery of the Kootenai Lake Angler Incentive Program, which has been really positive. And they've been catching actually lots of fish through that program. And that's put on by the BCU Wildlife Federation and the West Arm Outdoors Club.
Mm-hmm. And you guys have partnered with the Ministry of Forests and the Fishery Society of BC.
Yeah, we've partnered with the Freshwater Fishery Society of BC, Lower Kootenai Band, and the Ministry of Forests.
And so how did that partnership come about?
Well, basically what happened is that when the funding came available through the Ministry of Tourism's Destination Development Fund, which supports development and rejuvenation of tourism. And so we thought that was a great opportunity to bring their resources and their knowledge of this partnership to help restore the Kootenai Lake's Girard rainbow trout fishery.
Okay, and so part of this project involves you collecting Kokanee salmon eggs from across the province. Where do you get these eggs from?
Well, I believe there'll be probably different options, but right now they're looking at the Upper Columbia, so around Fairmont, Hill Creek, and Tyee, T-Y-E-E. And I'm sure there'll be other places, just depending on the amounts of spawners that are coming in.
Those places fully stocked with Kokanee won't have any sort of negative impacts on the populations there?
I believe they have to let a certain amount of spawning fish through and allow them to spawn. So there's a target, like they just don't go in and willy-nilly just take them all out, whatever they want. There'll be a certain amount of spawners that will be able to spawn first.
One of the interesting angles I thought of this story isn't simply, let's get Kokanee there for fishing because they're good eating. It's the cultural significance of the Kokanee salmon. Could you speak a little bit about that?
Well, yeah. So, the cultural aspect of it is that the Kokanee were a keystone species. That was an important indigenous sustenance fishery prior to the collapse of the population. So the recovery of the Kokanee population in the Kootenai Lake and its tributaries is an initiative that has been identified in the Lower Kootenai Band strategic plans. And as far as the evolution or the history of the salmon, the Kokanee salmon itself is really interesting. When the glacier receded like some 10 to 12,000 years ago, the rivers were formed. And that provided a pathway for the sockeye salmon to move from the Pacific Ocean up into the lakes. And then when the levels of the lake shrank and the river levels fell, the pathway became impassable. So the newly landlocked salmon adapted to their new life as Kokanee. I find that really interesting. So obviously it speaks of their smaller size in that. So they became landlocked and adapted quite well.
Yeah, that is fascinating. I would have thought there's some sort of relation, but I wouldn't have think they were just directly descendant from the...
No, probably is kind of a mystery to some people, but it explains it and it makes a lot of sense that when the glacier receded, they became isolated, ones that didn't have, you know, to work their way up. And so, yeah, it's kind of fascinating and how they adapted.
Yeah, the adaptation is really interesting because they would have been a saltwater fish before, right? So the fact
yeah.
that they even survived
is it's very similar to the sturgeon as well. I mean, they're non-anadromous, like they don't have to, yeah, they don't need the salt water. So, yeah, it's really interesting.
So speaking on the directly back to the project here, do you know how long it'll take before these Kokanee population is self-sustainable now?
Yeah, that's like me taking a guess, but I'm thinking that they're assuming anywhere from 5 to 10 years. So nobody really knows the number exactly, right? But I think the recovery is anticipated to be between 5 to 10 years. And I think there's a similar project in the States, Lake Pendere, and I believe that was like roughly 6 years for the population to sustain itself. But of course, it's a little bit different of a scenario, but it's similar.
Kootenai Lake is quite large, so do we expect them to be all throughout the lake? And also, does this have anything to do with, I know you're going to have a few specific sites where you release the eggs. Will it populate the entire lake?
Well, that's what they're hoping. The eggs will be stocked into Meadow Creek, and then possibly like the different, like the south arm here. We have, there's Summit Creek, and there's the Goat River, and there's Crawford Creek. So those are possibilities for those eggs to be stocked into there as well, but that will be determined with the consultation with the Lower Kootenai Band. But those salmon will move around for sure.
What about just talking about the health of Kootenai Lake in general? Like how does having a solid kokanee salmon population affect other organisms in the lake?
They also provide the sustenance for other predators, for all the predator fish. And then, of course, they feed the bears when they spawn and die, the eagles. And then post-spawning salmon or decaying salmon, you know, return valuable nutrients back into the ecosystem. So there is a balance there for sure. Everything works together. And I know that they feed on the zooplankton. And then, of course, it's a chain effect, right? And then the predators feed on the kokanee on the zooplankton.
Why is this project important to you guys at the Crescent Valley Rod and Gun Club?
Well, the Crescent Valley Rod and Gun Club has supported other conservation and recreational initiatives. It's really important for us to want to have the community be able to enjoy and experience all that our valley has to offer, you know, for years to come.
It's nice to have a diverse population of fish.
Oh, totally. Like the fishery was huge way back. They were, you know, I can't remember how many million, 6 million annual revenue came into our province for the recreational fishing, which was lost, and that's what we're trying to retrieve. And then the kokanee fishery, like there's no reason, like right now you have to release kokanee, but there's no reason if the kokanee were able to return to a sustainable balance that we possibly will also see a vibrant kokanee fishery in the Kootenai Lake as well.
Okay, yeah, so I didn't know that you had to release them now, but if all goes well with this project, that shouldn't be a problem going forward, which also is obviously nice for locals, but should be good for tourism.
Oh, yeah. Like, and people did at one time fish for the kokanee, right? When the balance was there, it worked well. A lot of people like to kokanee fish. Kokanee is like an awesome, it's one of my favorite fish to eat. So we could maybe once again, once they sustain themselves again, that population, we could see another fishery for sure. And then you got the bull trout and the Girards. Yeah, and the Girards, it's fascinating because they're the largest rainbow trout in the world, and they're only native to the Kootenai Lake, which makes them exceptional, right? Like people come from all over the world to experience fishing them.
Have you ever caught a pretty large one before, 20, 30-pounder?
No. My grandfather lived in Balfour on the Kootenai Lake years ago, and I remember in the 60s, they lived right on the arm. When you come into the arm off the Kootenai Lake, and he would be bringing home like 30-pound fish for sure. They were definitely bringing them in. They were big fish for sure. But, you know, they're actually even seeing with actions that they've implemented over the years here since 2015, they actually are starting to see some success. Like I've been seeing some of the anglers catching some healthier, larger Girards now. Because at the beginning, when this was happening, at the beginning, they were thin and not looking very healthy at all. But they're starting to get some size to them again. So once the kokanee start, once they serve, you know, they're not being devoured, they can start to grow and get some size to them. And then once the Girards can start feeding on them and there's enough kokanee that they're not all going to be devoured, we'll start to see some size in the Girards again, and then that will bring back anglers again and bring back that fishery.
Yeah, that's cool. I never knew that there was any fish that large other than sturgeons around here.
Yeah. Well, the largest rainbow trout in the world, which is like fascinating, you know, that's right from our own little lake all over the world. That's the largest rainbow trout.
So yeah, just to wrap it up, you just maybe talk a little bit about what it took to make this project a reality, how long you've been working on it.
Yeah, so in December 2022, so it came, this project came about quite quickly because of the way that grant, I think it was December 2022 that the Ministry of Tourism's Arts and Culture offered the grants through the Destination Development Fund. So this was brought to us to take a look at. And then it was suggested that we could form this partnership collaboration with the Lower Kootenai Band and the Freshwater Fisheries Society and the Ministry of Forests to implement the actions going forward. Actually, really, the project became a reality through the dedication and the perseverance of local anglers and businesses that have seen and felt the effects of the downturn of the Girard rainbow trout fishery on the lake. These people that have, you know, suffered their businesses, and that this will be really positive. And but this is a two-year program for this egg stocking. And with the predator control that they're doing, our fingers are crossed. And without the funding and the support of the Ministry of Tourism, it wouldn't be possible either. So,
well, I'm excited to see the impact it not only has on the lake going forward, but around, like you're saying, with tourism and all that.
Oh, yeah. I remember back in the 70s, so this is aging me a bit, to seeing the tourists in the Nelson and, you know, Kootenai Bay and in the area at the time. And they were here for fishing. And it was a lot of Americans, people from all over, especially from Alberta and other parts of the province, but a lot of overseas. Like, they were well known, the Girard rainbow trout, for sure. Everybody wanted one.
Okay, Kathy, well, thank you for taking the time to talk with me on Kootenai Co-op Radio.
Yeah, well, thanks so much.